If you have a copy of the Word of God, I invite you to turn with us once again, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10, as we're looking at what Christ spoke unto His 12 disciples as He commissioned them to go out into the world and to minister. And I believe that if we've been saved by God's grace, then we have received that commissioning. We've received that summons, that calling upon our life to go forth and to be witnesses unto all the land. And that's exactly what that He spoke unto His 12 disciples here in chapter number 10 of the Gospel of Matthew. And as we look the last time at that man by the name of Peter, that first man, tonight I want to look at the man by the name of Andrew, Peter's brother, that man of God. Andrew, the man of God. If you found your place there in Matthew chapter 10, that's going to be our launching point this evening. I'm preaching a little bit different than what I normally do. I normally preach pure exposition, but we're going to look at the lives of a few of these men that have been spoken of here, and then we'll dive into what the text has to say in Matthew chapter 10. But if you found your place, let's stand tonight, honor the Word of God. Now I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 and read up through verse number 2, and then we'll look in the Word of God to see what God has to speak to our hearts tonight about Andrew, the man of God. Bible tells us there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, "And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother." You may be seated tonight. Andrew, this man that we find here in verse number 2, this second one that has been announced here by Matthew, the writer of this gospel, the writer of this letter, we find that he addresses this man and acknowledges that Andrew is the brother of Simon Peter. Now we find in verse number 2 that the four men that are named, Peter and Andrew and James and John, we find that this was the inner circle, this inner band of believers that walked the most close to Jesus. And we find that they were a lot of times described as those that were by His side the most, the ones that prayed with Him the most, the ones that were around Him in His most desolate hour. And we find that the Bible tells us here and makes mention of these four men, but we find that a lot of times Andrew is kind of always in the shadow. He's not necessarily out there in the limelight. So my friend, that ought to bring hope, it ought to bring encouragement to those of us that are here tonight that might not necessarily desire to be in the limelight. Amen? I'm thankful because behind every great leader is a great person that stands in the shadows. As it said, behind every great man of God, there's a great woman of God. And behind every great preacher, there's a great congregation. My friend, we find the Bible here shares about Andrew, and he was a man that I believe that God used in a most unique way. And I want to remind you tonight that God wants to use you in a most unique way. Hey, you've got a calling upon your life that nobody else can fulfill. You've got a mission upon your life that nobody else can do. You have something unique that God has enabled you and only you to do. We find here in Scripture and in teaching that word Andrew, and I don't want to go to Brother Andy's head, and Trina, you keep him in check, okay? But the word Andrew actually means manly. Manly. And we find that Andrew was a manly man. Now, we want to keep Andy humbled now. We don't want him to get out of hand. But we find most of all that in the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find that Andrew is not mentioned very much. But over in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, if you want to turn there with me tonight, for these first couple of thoughts that God's laid upon our heart, we find that Andrew is made mention of there in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. I'll begin reading about verse number 35. We find the Bible says there again, "The next day after John stood, and two of his disciples." So we find John, this being John the Baptist, we know that he was a preacher of repentance. He was a proclaimer of the righteousness of God. And because God is righteous and because God's holy, when you compare yourself to Him, you need to recognize you're a sinner in need of repentance. And we find that John was a preacher. He was proclaiming that, hey, there's one coming one day whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unlatch. And He shall be the Messiah. He shall be the Redeemer. Hey, you need to get ready because God's messenger, God's man, is on His way. And we find that He stood there, the Bible says, on that day and had two of His disciples with Him. And of course, we know whom these men are. The Bible tells us here in verse 36, and it says, "And looking upon Jesus as He walked, He saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." I believe that as we look at this man by the name of Andrew, this man of God, I believe that he was a man that was convicted. And my friend, I want to remind you tonight that you cannot be anything in the family of God unless you're first a person of conviction. Hey, the Bible here says that he recognized looking upon Jesus. Hey, I'm thankful that there's somebody that's looking. Amen? Hey, he was looking upon Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. He was there upon the banks of the River Jordan, probably awaiting for John to baptize. And we find that as he was there, they looked upon the Lord Jesus. And he said, "I want you to look upon Him. I want you to behold Him. I want you to see Him." My friend, that's exactly what we got to do, is we got to fasten our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Every once in a while, it takes it's good for us to take a good inventory as to whom that we are and as to where that we are in our life and as to whom that we are looking unto and as to whom we're looking for, whom we're serving tonight. Hey, this man by the name of Andrew all of a sudden became a man that was a disciple of John. But I believe that there came a great deep sense of conviction upon his person. The Bible says there, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." My friend, I believe that as Andrew was standing there, as he had been brought up in Judaism, as he had been instructed by the rabbis, as he had had teaching through the preaching of the Word of God, we find that I believe that he heard John speak those words, "Behold, the Lamb of God," and it took him back to that Seder. It took him back to that time in which that he had observed the Passover, and it took him back to that place in which he had heard about over in the land of Egypt, when God commanded Moses, hey, every house needs to take unto them a lamb, a pure lamb, a spotless lamb, and that lamb's blood needs to be shed, and it needs to be marked upon the doorpost, and it needs to be put upon the mantle or the lintel of the house, and the teaching was that if the blood has been applied, that the death angel shall pass over, and there shall be salvation brought unto that home. I believe that as he heard about the lamb, and as John spoke about the Lamb, I believe he began to think about the blood, and I believe that he began to think about the sin that needed to be attended to. I believe he began to think about his own personal relationship with God, and God began to do a work in his heart and a work in his soul, and I believe he come under a deep sense of conviction. Hey, you've heard it before, and as long as I stand and preach, I'll say it again. Without conviction, there's no conversion. Without conviction, without being convinced of your need for a Savior, you'll never be able to take part in the true working of the family of God, because you won't be regenerated unless you're convinced of your need for a Savior. I believe the first step in you being the woman of God that God wants you to be is that you need to be convinced that you're a sinner and that your sins have separated you from God, and that the only way that you can find reconciliation, the only place you can find your niche in the family of a holy God, is to come under deep conviction and being convinced that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Hey, he cried out there in John chapter number 1. And the Bible says there, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith," John saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. You see, after they were convicted, they were called. They were summoned. Hey, God will not never convict somebody without calling them. Amen. I believe that God is going to convict them. God's going to convince them. Hey, you wonder, why in the world does that person not get saved? Why in the world has that person not trusted in Jesus? Hey, they might not have ever been convicted of their sin. Hey, we need to consider it a blessing whenever God comes by and He allows the light bulb to come on in the depths of our heart, and He makes us aware of our need of forgiveness. He makes us aware of our need to have right, standing before God, that God comes along, convicts us, and convinces us of our need of a Savior, and then He calls us. Hey, I'm thankful for what God does for us in our life. The Bible says here, in looking upon Jesus as He walked, He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." There's a conviction. And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. You see, they were looking upon Him. They were seeking. They were searching. I believe there's a lot of people in this life that are seeking. I believe there's a lot of people that are searching. There's a lot of people that are longing to fill that void that's in their life. They're wanting to find something to help them to overcome this emptiness that's within their heart, within their soul. That's why they're hooked on drugs. That's why they're hooked on alcohol. That's why they're hooked to pornography. That's how they're all caught up in adultery and immorality, is because they're trying to fill a void that's within their heart. But boy, if they could just look upon Jesus, if they just look unto Him, convinced of their need of a Savior, hey, I believe they'll hear God calling. I believe they'll hear Jesus speaking unto them. Look what it says here in verse number 38. "And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye?" You see, Jesus will meet you where you're at. He'll speak to you about your point of interest, your point of need, and He'll ask you, "What seek ye? What are you longing for? What is it that you desire for your life?" My friend, there's a lot of people that say, "Well, I desire to have peace in my soul. I desire that there be comfort in my home. My desire is that I'd overcome this wretched state that I'm in, that I might find comfort and peace in the depths of my heart." And I'll tell you what, God can bring that forth unto a person if they'll allow Him to. The Bible tells us here, it says, "Jesus turned, saw them following, saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto Him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest there? And thou?" And He saith unto them, "Come and see." My friend, Jesus is calling unto somebody today. Jesus might be calling unto somebody here tonight. You're saying, God, I don't know what is up in my life. I don't know what You're wanting to do in my life. I'm looking upon You. I hear You calling unto me. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, "Come and see what I can do for you. Come and see how that I can bless you. Come and see what's in store for you and your family and your life. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Hey, Jesus will give you rest. Come and see. Test Jesus. Call upon His name. Place your faith and trust in Him. He'll never let you down. He'll always see you through. The Bible tells us here in verse number 39, it says, "They came and they saw where He dwelt." Hey, Jesus called and they came. My friend, that's exactly what God wants you to do. He wants you to place your faith, place your trust in Him. We see how God worked in Andrew's life. He became a man of deep conviction. He became a man that was called. And then we find that he became a man that was converted. The Bible says there in verse number 40, it says, "One of the two, well, which had heard," it says there, "John speak, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. You see, he was converted. God spoke unto his heart. And he became convinced of his need for a Savior. And my friend, he placed his trust in Him. He said, "I have found the Messiah. I have found the Anointed One of God. I have found God's unique only begotten. I have found the Savior. I have found the Redeemer. I have found that One that's been described unto us as the lily of the valley and the bright and the morning star." He says, "I have found Him. I have placed my faith and my trust in Him." So we find that he was a man that was converted. But I believe he's also a person that was concerned. Amen? Hey, I'll tell you what, whenever God does a work in our heart, when God does a work in our soul, when He convinces us, when He calls us, when He converts us, He'll make us have a deep sense of concern for a lost and dying world. What was the first thing He did? He went and called upon His brother. He went and called upon him. He said, "Man, you won't believe whom we found. You can't understand what that has taken place in my life. I've been out here searching. I've been out here seeking. I've been walking with John. I've been believing in his preaching. I've been believing in the message in which that he has conveyed unto us. But I want to tell you, I met a man today who's the Lamb of God. I met a man today that's came to take forth the sin of the world. I've met a man today that's come to be the closest, dearest friend that we could ever have. I've come today and I've been convinced. I've been called upon. I have been converted. And now I'm commissioning you. I'm calling upon you. I'm concerned about your heart." And we find here that he called unto his brother. Now look with me over in John chapter number 6. We think about this concern in which that Andrew had. I'll tell you what, he had a deep sense of concern. He wasn't just concerned about his own family, but he's concerned about whomever else that he might connect with Jesus. You see, that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a vessel that can connect others unto Him. He wants us to be somebody that can tell somebody about somebody that can help them in their life. And that somebody is Jesus. My friend, He wants us to be a help. He don't want us to be a hindrance. I'll tell you what, there's enough churches that have enough hindrances. Not enough churches that have enough people that's dragging everybody else down. He wants us to be somebody that can help somebody else out. And the Bible tells us here in John chapter 6, read with me here in verse 1. It says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain and sat, and there He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for he himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now look, one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" Hey, I'll tell you what. He did not know what Jesus might do with that, but he knew that he could do something with it. And my friend, you might not know what God might be able to do with you. You might not know what God might be able to do with that person that God's laid upon your heart to tell about Jesus. But my friend, I want to tell you, God can take somebody that's a nothing. God can take somebody that is small. He can take somebody that might not be too dominant in this life as they are in their wretched state. But if they can get hooked up to Jesus, if they can get connected unto Him, God can do great and marvelous, wonderful works if they can just get brought unto Jesus. And I'll tell you what, that Andrew was a go-between. He was concerned about this multitude. He was concerned that they might be fed. He was concerned that their need might be met. Hey, you might be concerned for your own self tonight, but my friend, we need to get off our minds sometimes off ourselves and think about the concern of others and think about what God might want to do for them. And I'll tell you what, God might place somebody in your life, and all He's asking you to do is connect them unto Jesus. Hey, they might be the next Billy Graham, amen? They might be the next Andrew Murray. They might be the next D.L. Moody. They might be the next Billy Sunday. Hey, you don't know what God might do in somebody's life. You don't know what type of hidden potential might be there. But my friend, God can bring forth great, marvelous works. And all He's asking us to do is to connect somebody up with Him. Hey, He was a man of connection. He was concerned. And the Bible says here, He says there in verse 9, "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, 5 little old loaves, and 2 little old fishes." And the Bible says here, "But what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them which were set down, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, He said unto the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I'll tell you what, all it took was Andrew bringing forth that young lad and allowing himself to bring forth that young lad unto Jesus. And Jesus multiplied it tremendously, that there's 12 baskets full of fragments left over, above and beyond. Jesus can go above and beyond if we will just be concerned about those that might be around us. Hey, I'll tell you what, we've got lost people on our heart. We've got lost people in our family. We've got lost people in our communities. You've got somebody that's lost that you work with. You've got somebody that does not know Jesus that you go to school with. And all God is asking you to do, if you've truly been convicted, if you've truly been called, if you've truly been converted, all He's asking you to do is to be concerned about somebody else, that they might hear the same gospel. They might meet the same Jesus. They might see Him do the great marvelous work in their life, that they might be able to see the abundant work of God take place in their own heart and their own soul. So we see that He was a man that was concerned, but we also see that He was a man that was commissioned. Look with me in John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. So we think about Andrew, this man of God. He was a man that was convicted. He's a man that was called. A man that was converted, a man that was concerned, but he was also a man that was commissioned. Look with me in verse number 19, John chapter 20. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut for the disciples, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." We see that those disciples that were there in that upper room on that glorious day in which Jesus appeared unto them, we find that they were there and Jesus come in and He spoke unto them there in verse number 21. And He said, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Hey, just as God sent Jesus forth into this lost and dying world to be a representative for Him. Hey, I tell you, He's more than just a representative. He was the Savior. He was the Atoner. He was the Redeemer. He was the Mediator. He is the Advocate today. But my friend, just as God sent Him into the world, just as God allowed Him to be a vessel that God would work through, my friend, if He saved you, He wants you to be a vessel also that He can work through. And my friend, He's commissioned each and every one of us. He's sending each and every one of us forth tonight that we might go back out into a lost and dying world and tell them about Jesus. Hey, we support missions. We collect for missions. We send forth missionaries. But my friend, God has also sent us forth to go out into the wicked wiles of this whole world and to tell them about a Savior, to tell them about Jesus. Hey, it might be on Larka. It might be downtown. It might be on the outskirts of Swain County. It might be in Andrews or Murphy. It might be in Waynesville or Asheville. But God has called us to go back and to tell somebody about God's love. So He says there in verse 21, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Hey, I'm glad we've got a Comforter. Amen. Hey, we're comforted when we know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And my friend, we have one that's going to be there with us. And the Bible says in verse 23, "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." And my friend, we do that based not upon any authority that we have, but upon the authority of the Word of God. My friend, this Word that we hold in our hand, that you hold in your lap tonight, is the Word of God. And whatever the Word of God says is right, is right. Whatever the Word of God says is wrong, is wrong. And we can tell somebody, hey, if your life is lining up in this manner, then you're okay. You're in good standing with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But if you are guilty and you are under the wages of sin, then you must pay the sin debt. And we find here that we can tell somebody if they're standing in right judgment or if they're going to be standing condemned forever, eternally, forevermore, because they've never trusted in Jesus. So we see here that Jesus is the only one that has the ability to forgive and forget. He's the only one that has the ability to save. But, my friend, we can point them in the right direction. We've been commissioned tonight. So let me ask you tonight, who's going to step up? Who's going to be a man like Andrew? Who's going to be a woman like Andrew? He wasn't in the limelight. He was just in the shadows telling others about Christ. And, my friend, that might be exactly what God's called each and every one of us to do. He's called us to just serve Him where we're at and to be who we are for the glory of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.